Good morning, everybody.
Oops.
Not a very good start, is it? I've got a few notices, some of which are on overheads, but I've been asked particularly to draw your attention to them. So the prayer meeting on Tuesday is cancelled because David is away, and on Wednesday the prayer meeting will be at the Kingfisher and not here. Our service next week is our Harvest Festival, and we would welcome all gifts of food, preferably dry or tinned rather than fresh, so that they can be used by the various food banks. There is a service of thanksgiving for Stella's life, who I think many of you will know. This will be held at Hazelgrove at 2 p.m. on Friday. And Judith just asked me to say that the film club starts on Saturday at 2 o'clock. There's been a notice on the notice board for a couple of weeks where people can sign up if they want to lift to circuit service. The next circuit service is in a fortnight, and I've put the list on the table at the back. So if anybody already knows that they would like to go, but hasn't got transport, then please sign it. It can also apply to any circuit services at Macclesfield. If we know that you would like to go occasionally, it's not a commitment to go to each and every one, but at least if we know that you're interested, then somebody can contact you and see if that particular week you would like to go. So if you just put your name on the list, and we can deal with the rest. And also, I just want to mention that there is a circuit ladies' evening, which will be on Friday, October the 11th at 6 o'clock at Gawsworth, which is described as an evening of food, friendship and faith. And Brenda Wainwright has given me this notice, and she, I'm sure, will be able to give you any more information about it if that's required. So I think Mandy's hovering, ready to start our worship. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to be amongst these butterflies. They're fantastic, aren't they? Our first hymn reminds us, God is here as we his people meet to bring him thanks and praise.
God is here as we meet to know me.
Richard, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, reminded us how important the Psalms are, or were, and are. And that 40% of them are Psalms of praise. So it sent me looking at them again. I've got a favourite Psalm, but now I think I've got another one. Listen to this one.
Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord, how profound your thoughts. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him."
Thank you. So why do I like it so much? I sing for joy at what your hands have done. What a beautiful world we live in. We've spoilt it. God made a beautiful world, and we see it through our windows. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. What does that mean? I explained at the Wednesday service, when the storms of life come, the palm tree bends. It doesn't break, it just bends. When the storms are over, it stands upright again. And scientists tell us that it's more powerful now than at the beginning. It's stronger after the storm if we bend with it and don't break. But what about the end of the psalm? That made me laugh. The righteous will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Hallelujah. I'm going to Iona now. Well, partly to Iona, because I've changed the words a lot. Think of a time when you saw the world is very beautiful. Think of daffodils greeting the spring. Or the perfume of a summer rose. Think of an autumn wood. Or snow glistening at sunset. Think of a time when you saw the world is very beautiful. And give thanks. Think of a time when you found pleasure in just being alive. Think of walking through a bluebell wood, or planting a garden. Think of the birth of a child, maybe your grandchild. Or just holding someone you love. Think of cheering on your favourite football team. Or of laughter shared with friends. Think of a time when you found pleasure in just being alive, and give thanks. Think of a time when your spirit was refreshed. Think of a song that moved you to tears, or listening to a famous orchestra. Think of the faithfulness of a pet, or the care of your family. Think of somebody who simply said, "I love you," or of receiving God's love in bread and wine. Think of a time when your spirit was refreshed, and give thanks. But now think of a time when you were in despair. Think of being worn out with worry or anxiety, or being ashamed because you've hurt someone. Think of watching the horrors of war on the news, or of people here who can't afford to heat their homes. Think of the effect of climate change, and of knowing that we are to blame. Then think of the suffering, forgiving, changing love of Jesus. And find hope. Our next hymn follows on very much from that. God of my faith, I offer you my doubt. This is a fairly new hymn. We have sung it before, but if you would play it through for us, please, John. Thank you. Oh, right. Are they not powerful words? Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Somebody agrees with me. I asked Richard a question last week because I couldn't remember the answer. I knew there was one, but my memory ain't what it used to be. I simply asked him, this fantastic mobile, why have you made it with butterflies? Richard.
I think Mandy actually asked me a subtly different question. She said, where did you get these ideas about butterflies or something like that? And it's actually quite a difficult question to answer because it goes back a long way. And I've done a lot of thinking about butterflies over the last couple of years in particular. And I can't actually now remember exactly what it was that led me off in that direction to start with. So in a sense, I can't answer the question as asked. I do know it goes back quite a long way. This is my first attempt at a butterfly mobile, okay? And Liz can tell you exactly how old it is. It's 27 years old, okay? And the reason I know it's 27 years old is because I made this to celebrate the birth of our twin daughters. And it was designed to be a mobile to go in the bedroom where they were sleeping. So my obsession with butterflies, if you like, goes back an awful long way. And certainly at that stage, I didn't make any connection between butterflies and my faith. But so the butterflies came first in a way. I think I should be just able to break it on there. I'll clip it with that. But I've not been asked to talk about why butterflies are important for my family, my twins. I've been asked to talk about why butterflies are important for my faith. And I've become aware over the years that the butterfly has been used in a number of places as a symbol for the Christian faith. You can actually look around, and if you look in this banner here, you'll see there are butterflies blended in with the flowers and the leaves and everything else. But perhaps more importantly, you can look at the banner on the back wall, which was made far before I started talking about butterflies in worship. And you can see there the butterfly as a symbol of the resurrection. The butterfly is a creature that has to die, go into that chrysalis, in order to be reborn. And it has been used throughout history, not actually very often. People talk about it being used as a symbol more than they actually used it as a symbol, but as a symbol of our Christian faith and of resurrection. And what I particularly like about it as a symbol of resurrection is it moves away from what many of us think of as the resurrection being an event that happened once in history 2,000 years ago. And it's a metaphor of resurrection happening every day in our current world. Because I believe that when we think about those scenarios in the last hymn of lives that appear destroyed, of people affected by depression and poverty and war across the world, people who are consumed by self-interest, there is no one who falls sufficiently deeply into a pit that they do not have hope that if they turn to God, they can get out of that pit and they can experience resurrection for themselves. Resurrection is not just a moment in history. Resurrection is something that can happen in all of our lives when we turn to God, unfurl our wings, and start to fly. That's the butterfly, and that's resurrection. More recently, though, I've seen the butterfly as combining my Christian faith in resurrection with my concerns for the planet and climate change. If you think about it, there is no better metaphor for modern consumer society than a caterpillar. What is the sole function of a caterpillar? To eat. The only thing a caterpillar does is eat. It's born to eat. It emerges out of that egg on a leaf. And the reason it comes out of that egg on a particular leaf is in order that it can eat that particular leaf. Okay. And it does nothing else all its life. It just goes, munches through leaf after leaf and grows and grows and grows. And isn't that how we are as a society? We measure our success by this thing called gross domestic product, which is essentially a measure of how much we consume. We think we're a successful society if we consume lots of stuff and have a big GDP. And we look at the poor countries that aren't consuming enough and have low GDPs. Our government gets into a huge panic when we don't appear to be growing and consuming enough. We are just like a caterpillar, eating through our resources. And there will come a one day, if we carry on like this, when there are no resources left to eat through. Think of the cabbage that's been devastated by the butterfly. But we can turn from that. We can actually say, no, growth, destructive growth, isn't what we're about. And if you look at all the world religions, all the major world religions, at the heart of them, including Christianity, is a belief that if we want to be fulfilled, if we want to fly beautifully as a butterfly, we need to learn to be thankful for what we've got. Those gorgeous words of the psalm. We need to be thankful for what we've got rather than clamoring for more and more and more. It's a profoundly Christian message. It's at the heart of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Not our gatto. Not our champagne. Not our truffles. Give us today our daily bread. Let us be satisfied with the simple things that we've received. And if we are satisfied with our daily bread, both physically and metaphorically, then we will live life in all its fullness, in all the beauty of a butterfly. I think we can all try and live more simply, try and live a more Christian life. And that's the message that the planet needs at the moment. We need to get away with this obsession from growing and consuming, give thanks for what we've got, and to share it with other people. The scientists come out with gloomy reports, but those gloomy reports have a kind of second section as well that say, yes, this is gloomy, but if we choose to change, here is what you need to do. And we can do that. So Christianity needs to be at the heart of leading our society into a different way of being, a way that moves away from a caterpillar-like existence and celebrates itself in the form of a butterfly. That we rise again on the third day. Amen.
Of Richard Timms, like a caterpillar crawling.
Feeding.
Sorry, feeding.
That's what they do.
different things speak to different people. Sure, you'll all agree with that. So I've got a challenge for Richard at the end. It's a standing joke in our family, at least with my sons, that written on my gravestone will be these words: "Look at that tree. I just love the colours of autumn." And the boys in the back of the car, Chris driving, and I'm free to look. Wow, look at that tree. Isn't it beautiful? So I rejoiced when I was lucky enough to join Chris in Raleigh in North Carolina. Chris was on sabbatical studying at the university there. And we spent several days driving along, here it is, the Blue Ridge Parkway. How about that? I'd seen this advert in one of their local papers. It said this: "This go-to road is touted as one of America's most scenic drives. Essentially, every overlook, lay-by, features a world-class view. So pack a picnic and explore it at will. It stretches over 300 miles, and you can't drive more than 30 miles an hour." I was in my element. Look at that tree. But then another memory came to mind. That's the parkway with the Smoky Mountains in the background, aptly named, yes? But another memory. Many years ago, about this time of the year, I went on a Christian counselling course for 3 weeks at Waverley Abbey near Farnham. On any counselling course, I guess the first person you sought yourself, the first person you sought out is yourself. Memories come back, which can be painful. I couldn't sleep one night, so I got up very early as dawn broke. Well, it wouldn't be that early, would it? Because it was this time of the year. It was a beautiful morning. There was a clear blue sky, and the sun already had a touch of warmth. I wandered into the beautiful grounds of Waverley Abbey when I was just stopped in my tracks by one single tree. It was a huge tulip tree, rather like this one, in its autumn coat of green, yellow, and orange. There'd been a frost the night before, and the sun was glistening off the moisture on its leaves. It was awesome. I stood there and marveled. As I stood absolutely stock still, I saw a rabbit at the base of the tree. Then I noticed at the top of the tree were squirrels. There was even the remains of a bird's nest up there. It was ageless, strong, peaceful, welcoming. It was a place of safety. It gave life and shelter to myriads of creatures. It provided shelter from the sun and from the rain. And as I stood there, I found myself slipping my shoes off. Not a conscious act, the grass was wet. But I felt like Moses looking at his burning bush. And he slipped his shoes off because he was standing on holy ground. Words of Paul came to my mind. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. For me, it became a picture of God and gave me much needed peace. And the more I thought about it, the more I understood. After all, trees make life possible in some ways, don't they? They take the carbon dioxide out of the air and replace it with oxygen that we need. Just as Christ forgives our wrongdoings and gives us peace through his forgiveness. And then I concentrated on the leaves on the ground. They'd had to let go of the tree in the same way that I had to let go of the things in the past that the counselling course had revealed. What do we need to let go of so that Jesus can take authority in our lives? Pride, fear, unforgiveness, wrongdoings. What does God want us as individuals or as a church to let go of so that we can branch into something new and different? A few years later, I was given a poem by Helen and Lucy Holmes. Let's use this poem as a prayer asking for God to forgive us. The birch leaves are falling, Lord, golden diamonds on the stony path, released in the autumn wind. But I, Lord, still clutch tight to the leaves of my old life, useless, withered, and dry. Teach me to let go of all the hurts and animosities, old troubles and grief. Teach me to release them into the wind of your spirit. And be whisked away. That like a tree, I may rest a while at peace and then grow again in spring. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Let's celebrate that. Then I thought a little more about this image of great stability. What gives that tree its stability? Its roots, of course. The tree was huge. How big must those roots have been? When we first moved into our house in Hazel Grove, we lived on the corner of an estate. The garden was full of clay and rubble that had been partly covered and a few plants put on it. What we should have done is removed the rubble and the stones. But when you've got a young child and another one on its way, that wasn't exactly priority. So what we did in the front garden, we simply planted bushes. They survived somehow, but they just sat there for years and years. And then suddenly took off, presumably when their roots were established. If my tree is an image of the church or a Christian, we both need good roots. We talked a bit about this last week. What gives us those roots? Prayer, Bible study, discussion, worship. Psalm 128 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labour in vain." So I issued an invitation last week for you to join a study group or a prayer group. But we also mention the many groups of people we invite in here, into our buildings, and hopefully share our faith with them. There's loads of them: Vox, Ladies Fellowship, the Film Club, the Toddler Group, Muddy Church, Breakfast Church. But let's turn it round. What groups are out there who need our help? I wonder if you can think of any. Think of this. Have you been in there? Hope you have. Just Ice Cafe. Famous, firstly, for its wonderful ice creams and all the variety. But look what that ice cream gives. Where there's ice cream, there's hope. But it doesn't just sell ice cream, does it? It sells coffee, biscuits, light lunches, breakfasts. And it's a place where Christian values stand out. All are welcome. A friendly face is there, and a listening ear can always be found. After last week's service, Hilary Garrett said to me, "I do wish you'd prayed for Just Ice. I work there." So when I began to plan this week's service, I said to her, "Please, will you come and talk?" Well, you can guess what she said. Like everybody last week, "I'm on holiday." But she did send me this. You just have to imagine this is Hilary speaking. "Stretch me up about a foot. Turn my dark hair or grey hair to blonde." This is what she said. Sitting in church one day, Helen Howe from Just Ice came to talk to us and asked if anyone felt able to come and host a table in the cafe for anyone who might need some company or just have someone to talk to over a coffee. I used to see my dad on a Wednesday morning, and after he passed away, I wanted to use that time to do some good and to help others. So I went along to volunteer. When I arrived, I was a little surprised to be asked if I would volunteer to be a baker instead, working alongside one of the beneficiaries of this venture, as they were desperately short. You can imagine my panic. Baking on a large scale for my cakes to be sold in public, I wasn't sure. But I was assured it would be fine, and cautiously I signed up. I was asked to work alongside Eunice. There he is. He was put into forced manual labour in his country, from which he'd escaped, and he'd spent 4 years travelling from North Africa to England. That was 2 years ago, and it's been such a wonderful opportunity. I've learnt so much from Eunice about his family and his life in the Sudan. We've shared concerns and worries and laughed over our different cultures and our languages. We've celebrated him passing his driving test, and we've supported him through his exams. I've cooked some meals for him when the council moved him out of his accommodation for the third time in 1 year. But most of all, it's been so rewarding to see him grow in confidence, to learn to trust again, and to develop into a very capable and lovely young man. He left the cafe last week to take on a new role, and we'll miss him. All the beneficiaries are allowed to stay for 2 years, and the cafe supports them in their development, both financially and emotionally, and getting them ready for future employment. I have a new beneficiary to work with, a young girl who was trafficked into the slave trade, sadly, in England. I've helped her improve her written English, and she's helped me improve my cake decorating skills. If you would like to volunteer for a couple of hours a week, we'd love to see you. It's far more rewarding than it is scary. Take it from me. I know. And then she says, Just Ice is running a 25 multiplied by £25 campaign, and there are some leaflets on the table outside. They're trying to find 25 people who can commit to a monthly donation of £25, or whatever you can afford. The rationale behind this is that 25 times 25 equals £625, which is what it costs to employ one of the survivors for a month. All the money from the cafe goes to covering the running costs. Donations are what allow us to pay a survivor and help change their life. If you feel you could help in any way, just pop into Just Ice or scan the code on the bottom of one of these. There's another very simple way you can help. Go and have a coffee. I'm sure you do. Go and have your breakfast there or your lunch. Support them. Never mind all the other coffee shops in Poynton, and there are loads. This one changes people's lives. My challenge to Richard, he's quaking in his boots now, is next year when we celebrate Creation Tide, as I'm sure we will, I'm positive we will, instead of butterflies, can we have leaves? And we won't forget. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know how fortunate we are. We pray for Just Ice, that Poynton will be generous with its money and in people to help in the cafe and in those who simply go in for a coffee or a chat. We thank you that lives like that of Eunice are changed for good. Help us to play our part in this venture. We pray for the groups that we invite into our church, Ladies Fellowship, Vox, Film Club, Messy Church, Breakfast Church, and Toddler Group. May we be a blessing to them. And give us the opportunities to share our faith with them, that more lives will be changed. We think of Graham coping with a new job and all the business meetings that September always brings to the churches. We pray for the stationing committee meeting very soon, meeting this month, next month, to find ministers for churches, including ours. We pray, Lord, for the right person. A person who will lead us on in all our ventures. But Lord, the thing that's on our mind, perhaps more than anything at the moment, is the war between Israel and the Lebanon. We watch in horror as we see how many people are suffering there and in Gaza. Many innocent people. We pray again for peace. We pray that you will give wisdom and the will to seek peace to the leaders of the nations involved and those in the UN. Lord, may your dove of peace fly high over that part of the world. And we don't forget the Ukraine and Russia and the problems there. You gave us such a beautiful world. And we look in horror at what we have done to it. We pray for this afternoon's concerts. We pray that many people will come and listen to Epiphany and think again about what we are doing to the environment. We ask you to bless and strengthen all those who will take part. May it be a very special evening. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. In the silence, we bring our concerns to you. May wisdom herself take root in us, grow strong and tall within us. May she touch what is old and dead and make us beautiful and fragrant like cedars and olive trees. May she spread out her branches and shelter us. And as the tree of life sustains and heals us, so may our fruit and leaves be a source of life for Poynton and the world. Amen. So let's end on a note of confidence. A hymn that I don't think we've sung for a long time. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon us now or then.
Oh,
powerful words. Let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please, would you sit down, Christine?
So firstly, I should have mentioned earlier that this afternoon we are hosting two concerts with Epiphany as part of our celebration for Creation Tide. Each will be an hour of music, including excerpts from Requiem for the Earth by Linda Entwistle, and in between there will be refreshments. They're at 4:30 and 7:30 this afternoon, so please do come along. But the real reason why I'm standing here is because tomorrow Judy is moving to St. Neots. Many of you will know that Judy has been an integral part of our church for decades. So I thought I would say a bit about what she's done during that time, but actually there is too much. So then I thought I would talk about what talents she has brought to our life here. And she has tremendous organisational and administrative skills, and she's a fount of legal knowledge. But with a bit of luck, we might be able to find other people who will do those things. But what she has given to us most, I think, over the years, is her enthusiasm and generosity of spirit. Time and again, I have been in a room with her when somebody's had a bright idea of what we can do in future. And we're all sitting there looking at the floor, trying to avoid the organizer's gaze. And Judy will put her hand up and say, "I will do it." And that is what we are really, really going to miss and what we are so grateful for. So I have got a little token that I would like to show. So this is from all of us at church. Now, you didn't give us a great deal of notice that you were actually going, so we have a card too made by Linda and Hilary. Can we have it back after so more people can sign?
And maybe they also don't want to.
No, I think maybe they do want to.
Thank you.
And this is a card from toddlers, from the team, wishing you and missing you greatly already. I was there on Thursday thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we're gonna miss all the effort you've put in and your hard work and support.
It's such fun. I really do think that, you know, sometimes saying yes, actually, it gives you back more than you give. It's just wonderful. We came here, actually, we're not quite made the 37 years, because I found the deeds when we were packing, and we actually bought the house on the 5th of October. But the very first Sunday we were here, we came and sat over there. Me and we left Tom with all the packing boxes. I just brought the children out the way. Our daughter was 6 then, and the boys were nearly 4, not quite. And immediately we found that there were about 4 sets of twins in the church, and all belonged to the twins club, so that was great. And it's always useful for sharing equipment when you've got 2 the same age, as you probably know. Also, Noreen Hood was sitting behind us with her daughter, and Beth, our eldest, had been given to Gillian to look after at school. So there you were, already ready-made friendships. And we're surrounded by them, friends. I thought I wouldn't get sad, but I can't help it. I'm quite emotional, generally. So thank you, everyone, for your friends. Hi, Andy. thank you for all your friendship, for all your support to us. We're very grateful. Tom, come and give me a hug. Sorry? And for Judith. I even found somebody here with the same name as me, because I was Judith Ridgway before I was married. And we became members of church on the same day, didn't we? And my father got very confused by the order of service. "Why is your name there twice?" he said. "It's not, is it?" So, but we have had good friends.
Yes, as you know, I'm not a member of the church, but I've been dragooned into things from time to time. And I've found a lot of good friends in the church as well, so I do appreciate that also.
But please, just step up and help. Christine's really going to need the help. And it's time for her to stop and somebody else to step in. But, you know, I said it to my Women's Register friends in the last week. Part of the joy of belonging to organisations in Poynton has been that we can all sit here now and reflect on friends we've had here who've moved away, who've died, and who made it special, but that we welcome new friends who've joined us in the last few years. I can see people here. And that's what makes things fresh and diverse, and it helps them grow. You don't lose the past, but you build on it. So please keep doing that. And I'll try and find somewhere where I perhaps say no a bit off.
We'll see.
Not a chance.
Well, you should know.
Thank you. I think we should pray for them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that Judy and Tom have achieved in this church, for all the work they've done, for the ideas that they've had, and not just in the church but outside. We are so grateful to them, and we pray that you will bless them on their journey now, that they will find a new home, new interests, a new beginning, and that you will be with them in the midst of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.